Kurt Darling in the studio. He's a BD alumni. Well, not a BD alumni, a WBDG alumni. And you went to Brunswick, and you were a part of the Area 31 Career Center, correct?
That is correct.
So how did you get inspired, or how did you start coming to radio? Like, what was your calling for that?
Well, it's kind of a funny story. So I had to do a job shadow in middle school. And I went to Brownsburg West Middle School, for anybody listening out there. And we had to do a job shadow assignment. And I just had the weirdest thought, what's it like inside of a radio station? And so my mom pulled some strings. She knew some people in the industry. And I got to job shadow Jason Hammer, whom I work with now, actually, at WIBC. And then I also job shadowed Dave Decker, who was a disc jockey up at WZPL on the north side. And I just fell in love with it. I was like, okay, yep, this is what I want to do. So fast forward to my junior year, 2009, actually, this year, believe it or not. So yeah, I'm back in high school, apparently. Yeah, I got my funny story. My dad also works here. He's the heating and air teacher over here at the Area 31 Career Center. And so we came here on a just on a visit and stuff like that, and met Mr. Easter, and just kind of one thing led to another, and I started coming here.
Yeah, so before we got on air, we were talking about you being actually remembering doing the marathon, and
yeah.
what was your experience with that? Because you said you stayed the overnight?
Yeah, I did. Well, it was funny, because you guys are doing 40 hours right now, right?
Yeah, 40 hours.
So yeah, we did 45 hours. Well, we did 44 hours my junior year, and then we did 45 hours my senior year, because that was when we were increasing the increments of when we were doing how long, because it was 45 years old back then. So yeah, we did 45 straight hours. I stayed for one overnight, although my senior year I actually had to leave part of the way because I had to go to a track meet for my high school. And then after the track meet, I came back and did my shift, and then I crashed because I was so tired. But yeah, it was so much fun. We learned a lot about just kind of fundraising and putting an event together, and it was a really, really cool opportunity. It was really awesome what this event is.
Yeah, and just like, it's just barely getting started today, the marathon, and it's something really, really fun that I've actually been starting to, I enjoy it a lot as it keeps going a lot more and more and more. So get your start after high school, after doing the two radio marathons with the radio station, or what did you do after high school?
Well, I went to Indiana State, mostly because, it came down to Ball State, Indiana State, and the University of Indianapolis, all three very, very good comm schools. But it, for me, it all came down to where I could get on the air the quickest. And a lot of the stuff that I did right here at WBDG, it put me ahead of the curve going into college. And so Ball State was immediately out of the question, because I would have had to redo everything as a prerequisite in order to get on the air at Ball State. Whereas at Indiana State, they were literally like, yeah, we're going to put you on the air right now. You're that good. And so, I mean, I don't want to toot my own horn, but that was the truth. And so one thing led to another. I went to Indiana State for 4 years. Worked for WISU, and then my senior year we actually launched a second radio station at Indiana State. So now ISU has two operating radio stations. The second one is WZIS, Z90.7. And so after spending 4 years there calling games for Indiana State, doing radio shifts, DJ shifts, all this stuff, I got a job in Louisville. I worked for WHAS, which is a huge news talk station down there. I was an anchor and a reporter there down there for iHeartMedia. I was anchoring newscasts for stations in Louisville, Lexington, Somerset, Nashville, and Memphis. All those cities from right there in Louisville. But it wasn't paying me very well. So one thing led to another after that. Then I got this job up here at WIBC where I am now, where I'm pretty much doing the same job.
So your job consists of basically being like a news anchor? First, okay. So Can we hear like a small snippet of what you would do on a regular day?
I don't know. This might be, I'm going to be doing some different imaging here. but it'll be something like I introduce my newscast. Let's see, what's the forecast right now, actually? Let me pull it up on my watch here. So sunny 59 degrees on Monument Circle. I'm Kurt Darling. Here's what's trending at 7:02. The NRA convention's going on right now in downtown Indianapolis. President Trump spoke, as well as Vice President Mike Pence. They're talking about a lot of gun stuff. We'll have more coming up in the next hour. I'm Kurt Darling on The Level, on the go, and on Twitter at 93WIB. WIBC and WIBC.com. Something like that, you know.
I mean, that was on the spot. That's impressive.
Well, you got to think on your toes in this industry sometimes.
That's true. That's true. So you worked from you worked in Louisville, then mm-hmm. you came back up here. Has there been any other job you've been working, or like any other opportunities that came in that transition?
Well, the job at WIBC is my primary job. It pays the bills, but it's also it's also a lot of fun. I really mm-hmm. enjoy what I do. But also, you know, as broadcasters, you always look for work. You're always looking for something else to do. And so every once in a while, I'll call a game for another independent network, a high school basketball game, a high school football game, stuff like that. But actually, like just this weekend, I'm going to be down in Cincinnati. I'm going to be calling the Heartland Collegiate Athletic Conference Track and Field Championships out for the ISC Sports Network, which is TV. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be paying me to do that. And so, yeah, you're stuff in this industry. And that's one thing I always tell young aspiring broadcasters is to not be picky at all, because work is work. Yeah. And so, I mean, because there's I always use the sports analogy, where there's always these hot shot young guys wanting to call boys basketball, you know, because boys basketball is the popular sport, you know, or football and stuff like that. But opportunities aren't there. And so, but maybe a chance to call a girls softball game is. You take it because it's reps, it's work. Just do it.
It's experience.
Exactly.
So would you say experience is what makes it all, or what would you say like makes someone really good at radio broadcasting or as being a sports play-by-play?
You just do it. You just learn by doing. There's not a handbook to being a radio personality or just working on the radio. You learn by experience, and that's why I always tell kids, get as much experience as you possibly can, because it's invaluable. It really is. So just keep trying, you keep doing, you keep pushing, you keep experimenting with new things. And if you do that, you're going to go far in this industry.
So one, like you said, you said you tell people to just keep doing it and mm-hmm. going far. What would be another piece of advice you would give to maybe a sophomore or a freshman, or just someone who's listening right now who wants to get into radio, but they think it might be too late? Would you say it's too late?
No, it's never too late. It's never too late. I know people that got into this industry well into their 50s. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to people like you and me, that would be considered old. But nonetheless, it's never too late to get into this industry if you really want to do it. And because I know people who are in radio marketing or in radio sales but never really had the knack for being on the air, they give it a whirl and then they end up being really good at it. So you never know. And one thing I always remember is you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Mm-hmm. And that was a quote by Wayne Gretzky. And for those of you who watch The Office, Michael Scott said that, quoting Wayne Gretzky. So it's but depending on where you get that from. But it's really true, though. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. And if you don't do it, then you know what? Nothing gained. So you may as well just go for it.
Yeah, so what would you say would be one big risk you took that really paid off in your radio broadcasting career, starting from like your junior year all the way up to now?
Wow, that's a good question. Well, I mean, it's not necessarily a risk, but you try to make things your own. Mm-hmm. A lot of people in this industry will try to conform you to talk a certain way. And sometimes it's for the better. Sometimes it is. But at the same time, you can't lose sight of who you are as a broadcaster. You make the broadcast your own. So if you're hosting a DJ shift or a radio show, you make it your own. You don't try to emulate somebody. Because if you're emulating somebody, then you're being that person. You're not being you.
Yeah.
And if you be you, then you're able to create something that is your own. And so you take risks in that respect, because if you don't do that, then you're just being complacent and you're not growing. And growth is one of the biggest things, not just in radio broadcasting, but in life. It's like if you don't take risks, you know, then you don't go anywhere.
Yeah. I mean, my show is in Spanish, so it's like that was a big jump for me from my second semester of sophomore year, just trying to practice my mm-hmm. first semester of being on the air. And then my junior year doing my radio show in Spanish, I submitted my radio personality to see if I'd make it into the finals to the for live competition. And I didn't think I was going to make it, but it turns out I did make it. I competed and I got third in the state.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. But it's something like that, like what you said of if you don't take like that risk or that jump, mm-hmm. because I wasn't going to do it. But then I was like, I have this type of ability that I can make my, I can make something out of it and make myself be more presentable or make myself.
Well, you
be,
make it yours.
Yeah, make it mine. Yeah, yeah.
Well, there you go.
I mean, I'm pretty much done with the questions I had off the top of my head. I don't know if Brayden has any questions he wants to ask.
I'm trying to think of one. I have one in mind. I'm trying to put it into words. Kurt, got a question for you. I think I'm going to get it right the first time. Let's see. What would you say is the most important quality or like personality trait to have if you are going to be on the radio?
Well, it depends on type of stuff you want to get into on the radio. If you want to be a sports talk show host, if you want to be a radio DJ, and it comes back to the whole thing of making it your own. But you want to make sure that you have the personality, you want to have the energy, but you also have to have the work ethic. You got to put in the work, because if you're slapping together a show, you know, just with a few talking points or something like that, it's not exactly enjoyable for the listener because it just feels slapped together and it just doesn't feel like you put effort into it. You want to be prepared. You want to do the prep. You want to do the research. You just got to make sure that you have the work ethic and the drive to actually put together something that's listenable for the listener, because that's the other thing that you got to think about in this industry. You got to think about the listener. You don't think about you, because if you think about you, you know, people don't care about who you are. They only care about themselves. And I mean, it's a very conceited way of thinking, but that's the truth. And so you got to make a product that appeals to them, and therefore you get a product that appeals to them, then you start raking in the listeners and you get people to actually listen to, you know, hear you and hear what you have to say. So therefore you take that passion for what something that you have and you make it so that other people can hear it.
All right, so basically just take something you're passionate about, mm-hmm. kind of turn it somewhat into what other people would enjoy.
Exactly.
Into a product. All right. So, all right. Yeah, I get what you're saying. All right.
So,
you got anything, Caesar?
Yeah, I actually just thought of one. So when you do your news reports on air, mm-hmm. do you have to write that yourself, or do you have other people to do it?
No, I write it all myself. And we use a newsroom software called NewsBoss. And what it allows us to do is basically create a teleprompter right there in the software, and we insert the audio and we have audio clips of people that we've interviewed for mm-hmm. for the specific newscast. So for today, for example, President Trump is downtown speaking at the NRA convention. So is Vice President Mike Pence. Well, we recorded a lot of what he said in his speech, mm-hmm. and we make maybe like a 10-second snippet of that speech, and we write around it, and we put that audio in there, and so it gives credibility and it gives sound to the story that we're telling. And so we insert all of that into our newscast, and we read it off right there, and we rewrite it out ourselves. So that's another thing that I was making. It makes the newscast our own. We're able to write it ourselves. And that's one reason why I went into radio and not TV, because in radio you have more control over what you put out there, whereas with TV somebody else normally might write the teleprompter. I mean, you might have some input, but there's also there's a whole bunch of other factors that you got to put into it as well. And so you rely on so many other people. And for me, I like to be in control. And so that's why I went into radio, because I have a little bit more control over what I'm able to put out there. So that way I'm able to tell the story the way I want to tell it.
Yeah. And that's something. It seems like a lot of work, but is it a lot of work, or how would you say it is?
It's a lot of work if you put in the effort, because if you don't put in the effort, then you're not doing any work.
That's true.
It's to make the newscast sound the best that we possibly can, we have to put in hours of work just to make a 2-minute newscast sound as good as we want it to be. So we're like we're collecting natural sound, which is like background noise of like maybe a car going by. We can put that into the newscast. People to get sound, and we interview them, ask them questions to do, you know, a news story, to debate. We're doing journalism. And so, yeah, we put in that effort, we write it all up, and then all on top of that, we're writing stuff for the website as well as doing social media. And that's why in this industry we're called multimedia journalists, MMJ, because you have to be able to be proficient or even sometimes amazing in multi different facets of journalism through many different platforms. And that's another thing that I tell kids is, like, you've got to be versatile. You got to make sure that you're not just focusing on one particular thing, because if you're just proficient in one particular thing and average in everything else, you're not going to get hired.
Yeah. Yeah. So you picked up different skills as you've moved on from your junior year in high school, starting radio broadcasting, to now. What's the biggest skill that you think has made the most impact in your life that you didn't have before?
Well, when I first started out here, and Mr. Easter can attest to this, actually, it's funny, because you know how here at BD, they do the morning announcements, right?
Yeah.
I got fired from the morning announcements.
Really?
Yes, why? I did. Why? Because I was stumbling over myself, and I couldn't save it. I could not live read at all. Mm-hmm. I was so bad at it. And so it's just one thing that I've always had to overcome, because I naturally speak very fast.
Yeah.
And even today, I still have some trouble actually not stumbling over myself when I talk, especially when I'm live reading on the air, because my brain is moving 100 miles an hour, but my mouth is only moving 75 miles an hour. And so you have to find ways to deal with it. And so you write in different ways. You just make a concerted effort to slow down. That's one of the biggest skills that I remember taking away from this, was learning to talk slowly, but at the same time, not talking like I'm being boring. You know?
Yeah.
It's just one thing that Easter once told me is shut up and read.
So
just shut up and read. And sometimes it works.
Yeah. So like being clear and being precise in how you say your words then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I am actually a part of the morning announcements too.
Okay.
It's really nerve-wracking.
It is, isn't it?
When you're like on the microphone, you know, a whole bunch of people are listening.
Well, just think, if you go into my industry, instead of having a whole school listen to you, you're having a whole state listen to you.
That's true. So was it a fear at first, or did you?
Oh yeah.
So you overcame that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I would always get nervous. I remember the first time I went on the air. I remember my very first air check that I did on this station. I spoke so fast, my heart was racing. And keep in mind, this is only a little radio station with, you know, a select audience listening here in Indianapolis, and I was getting so nervous just off of that. But it was something that went away over time, because you get more comfortable on the air, you figure out what you're doing, and once you do that, the numbers and how many people you think are listening to you go away. Yeah. And then you're just right there, it's just you and the microphone.
Yep. So, you can go ahead.
No, I was done.
Okay. Well, I don't have any other questions. I don't know if you want to give some more advice, or if you want to ask us some questions.
Well, just stick to it. If you're passionate about this industry, just stick with it. Sometimes it can be a little bit tough. It can be challenging. But you know what? If it's not challenging, then it's not helping you grow as a person. Yeah. So if Easter comes down on you hard, or something like that, just know that he's not ragging on you. He's actually coming from a place of love, and he's coming from a place of caring, because you know he knows what's best for you. He certainly knew what was best for me. And that's later on in life. You know, there's always going to be people that are coming down on you. You're just going to want to quit. Well, just don't think of it as them belittling you. Take it as a growth. Take it as a learning. And if you do that, then you keep growing. You don't mess up anymore, and then things start working out for you. That's certainly what happened with me. So, but yeah, that's basically what that's probably the last bit of somewhat advice, I guess, if you want to take it as that.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
No problem, guys.
Brayden has anything else to add?
I do have one question, kind of tagging off of what you were just talking about. I've kind of been curious. You were talking about how Easter was helping you out a lot. How whenever you thought, made me kind of wonder, do you have any? Especially whenever you're younger, did you have any sort of like role models or anybody you kind of looked up to? Not exactly wanted to copy off of, but kind of like you're like, yeah, I get the, you know what I mean?
Well, there were several people. I mean, and for me, I was always, you know, I was always into sports broadcasting. I mean, I was the sports director here while I was here. There were two guys that I remember looking up to the most, and it would be Don Fisher, who is the voice of the Indiana Hoosiers down there in Bloomington, and Vin Scully, who is the now retired voice of the Los Angeles Dodgers. They both had two very different ways of broadcasting, but I would And I would, at first I would try and emulate them, but then I would also try and morph it into something that's me. And so, you know, and if you ever heard Don Fisher, he's like, I'm Don Fisher. You're listening to Indiana University basketball from Learfield Sports, you know, so something like that. I wouldn't try to be as deep as he is, but I would try and take his style and make it something that would conform to me. And so I had, so those would probably be my two big broadcasting heroes. And of course, there's a long list of them now, actually, like Mark Boyle from the Indiana Pacers and a couple other news anchors as well, like Fred Heckman from WYBC and Paul Page. A lot of those guys, you know, they came from where I'm working now, and they went on to have very, very distinguished careers in this industry.
All right, sort of tying off of that last question, do you necessarily have to have role models in this particular industry to be able to succeed, or do you just need to have like a couple of examples of like something to go off? Like,
I mean,
you know what I mean?
I mean, it helps to have something to
base it off of. Yeah.
Base it off of. Yeah. But I mean, nobody has to have role models, but you know, but everybody does have a role model. I mean, if you don't have a role model, then I don't know if you're human. So, but yeah, I mean, you don't have to, but it's always good to have somebody to mentor you. Someone, and I mean, I've had dozens of mentors in this industry over my now 12 years, I think, in this industry, starting from right here at BDG. And so there's always going to be people that come along and help you this and help you that. And every time you start a new job, you're going to think you know it all. And then all of a sudden, your new boss is just going to completely obliterate you and you're going to be back to square one. That's what happened with me at WYBC, but it made me a better broadcaster. And so you can't be closed off, and you can't get a lot of broadcasters suffer from an ego. And I'm guilty of it. I've had an ego in the past. But you can't let that keep you from growing, because you can never stop growing. And that's always something that you need to be mindful of.
All right. One last question, unless Caesar has anything else.
Oh, I don't have anything.
All right. If you could go back in time and talk to your younger self right now, what would you tell young little Kurt, and why?
Don't get so angry when you mess up, because I used to get furious. I mean, like I told you, I got fired from the morning announcements. I was livid. I was so upset because, you know, to me, that was everything at that point. But don't get so angry, because you're young. You have all the time in the world to get better. it's just a matter of how you use that time. You got to take your time. It's like I said, I used to talk so fast. Well, sometimes you got to slow down to move forward. And you can't always be in a rush to get where you want to go. And so you just take your time. Don't get so antsy. Don't get so worked up. And just let the chips fall where they will. And they will if you keep working.
All right. All right. Very interesting. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you for having me, guys. Good luck. Make sure you keep chugging those energy drinks. You're going to need them.
Thank you, Kurt.
All right. Thank you so much. And that was Kurt Darling. Caesar? You got anything, Dad?
No, just thank you for taking your time out of your busy day to come down here and, you know, talking a little bit more about the radio marathon, too, and some of your overnight stories, too. So that was much appreciated.
No problem, guys.
All right, thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hey, you know what? Before you go, I got one question.
Yeah.
You wanna intro this next song in?
Oh, don't mind if I do. You know, you know what my DJ name used to be?
What?
Rufus.
All right, Rufus, take it for us.
All right, you got Rufus here on the WBDG 53 Marathon. Coming up next, you got Boom Boom Pow, Black Eyed Peas.
Gotta get dip. Gotta get dip. Gotta get dip. Gotta get dip, 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 dip. Boom, boom, boom. Gotta get 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 dip. Boom, boom, boom. That boom, boom, boom. That boom, boom, boom. That boom, boom, boom. Yo, I got that hit to beat the block. You can get that bass on below. I got that rock and roll. That future flow. That digital spit. Next level visual. I got that boom, boom, boom. How to beat bang. Boom, boom, boom.
that spaceship. When I step inside the room, them girls go eight. Y'all stuck on Super 8, that lo-fi stupid 8-bit. I'm on that HD flat, this beat go boom, boom, bap. I'm a beast when you turn me on. Into the future, Cybertron. Harder, faster, better, stronger. Sexy ladies, extra longer. Cause we got to beat that bounce. We got to beat that pound. We got to beat that 808, that boom, boom in your town.
People in the place, if you wanna get down, put your hands in the air. Will I am, drop the beat now.
I'll be rocking them beats. Yup, yup. I'll be rocking them beats. Yup, 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 yup.
That was Boom Boom Pow by the Black Eyed Peas. You are listening to the 53rd Marathon, otherwise known as the 53rd anniversary of the marathon's birth. All right. Caesar, welcome back. How you doing, man? How you doing?
Oh, I'm good. How are you?
I'm pretty all right. You know what time it is?
It's prize time. Come on, grab your fans.
No. Oh, my God. It's prize time. It's time to give away a prize, potentially.
Ooh, what prize?
All right, so this prize pack we got here today, it consists of one free large one-topping pizza from Marco's Pizza, free Ooh. Little certificate. We all have also got one piece of Earthworld jewelry. Ooh. It's a local business in Plainfield where I live. It's really nice, fine quality. It's made out of like natural rocks and stuff like that. It's really cool. But to win that, you have to answer this question.
Ooh, wait, hold on. Before you say the question, the number you have to call when he gives out the question, that's not right now, but when he tells you the question, is 317-988-7475. If you have the right answer, you will win. So tell them what is the question.
All right, the question is, what was the number one song from 2009, from Ooh. This current year that we're playing?
So the number you have to call is 317-988-7475. You can call that number right now. And what was the question again?
What was the number one song from 2009?
2009 was such a good year.
Yeah, it has a lot of good song choices.
It really does.
For now, we're going to go ahead and go into another music break, and hopefully we'll have a winner by then.
Music from 2009?
Yes, sir.
Ooh, baby.
Up next, we got some Flo Rida featuring Kesha. It's Right Round on Indies Giant 90.9. 53rd Marathon.
Swagger, hop in that whip, though I got places to go. People to see, time is precious. I look at my Cartier out of control. Just like my mind when I'm in the shorties, know nothing but clothes. No stopping at my Pirelli's on. Unlike my Dewey, that's always on. I know the storm is coming. My pockets keep telling me it's gonna shower. Call up my homies, it's on. And popping the neck, cause it's meant to be out.
Now it's time for the fact of the hour. There is a college course offered for the study of Batman.
All right, class, it's me, Batman. Ready to do roll call. All right, Bruce Wayne.
Present.
Bruce Wayne.
Present.
Bruce Wayne.
He's sick.
Oh, okay. Rachel? Rachel? Where is she? Where is Rachel?
Oh my god. Alright, and we're back. Last song we just played was Right Round by Flo Rida featuring Kesha.
Kesha.
Alright, before we go on to our... We have a special guest in the studio. But first, before we go on to that, we did have a winner for the prize pack. The answer to the question in which I pondered was this. Well, I'll remind
answer
you of the question
the
first.
Question, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Silly me. How could I forget?
Silly goose.
The question was, what was the number one hit song from 2009? It was...
Boom Boom Pow.
Thank you. Boom You're Boom welcome. Pow by the Black Eyed Peas.
There you go.
I knew it was like three onomatopoeias, but I didn't remember who
and
what it was.
And also, we played it before you asked the question.
And the winner's name was Alexis Smith, so congratulations. You got yourself... Got yourself our free large pizza from Marco's Pizza.
Only
and
pizza.
One piece of Earthworld jewelry. So, congratulations.
Congratulations.
All right. On to the next part.
Do you want me to?
You know what? I'll hand the reins over to you, buddy.
Okay.
Who do we got in studio today?
I can't remember.
How
names
we doing,
today.
Guys? Yeah. My name's Coach Stewart. I'm the golf coach here at Ben Davis High School. Glad for the invite and glad to have you guys on the show.
Thank
glad
you
to
for
be on
coming
the show
here.
With you guys. Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
So, I play golf myself as a fellow golfer, in air quotes, because I'm not that great. What would you say is the most fundamental thing about the team right now?
Oh, man. The most fundamental thing about the team is just, I feel like our overall work ethic and our drive to be successful right now. You know, thankfully, I've got a lot of guys back on our team who was on our team last year. So I feel like they're kind of getting better with the whole idea of understanding what it takes to win.
Yeah.
So, you know, they kind of know that. And I've got some great senior leadership and, you know, Levi Pierpont, Nick Brown, those guys are great. Marcos Estrada, Wesley Faith, those are the seniors on our team. And they, you know, they've been around for a little bit outside of Marcos. So Marcos is his first year. But, you know, Levi's been pretty successful with some all-county selections and, you know, all conference and things like that, and he's got a lot of experience. So, you know, I feel like he understands what it takes to win, and that's great for our younger guys to be able to see that and watch how he approaches the game.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, Levi's been great. Cameron Jones, sophomore, he's been outstanding as well. Just his approach to golf overall, but yeah. So I think I would answer with that.
Yeah.
Just kind of our drive. Our drive and how we approach practice is definitely
the biggest thing about that.
For sure.
I was going to ask. Oh, I always forget my question for some reason. So golf is going on right now, correct?
Correct.
How's it going, really? That's my question. what I mean.
So, no, this year's been great. This year's been great. We're off to a pretty good start overall. We finished ninth in county this year, which is our best finish in several years since I've been on. Cameron Jones was finished third, so that, you know, that's kind of big time.
That is good.
So he's competing with the best of best around here. So he's right where he wants to be, and once again, he's just a sophomore, so that's kind of the bright spot so far this year. Yeah, our season's off to a good start. We're, you know, we got a lot of guys contributing, and I feel like we have yet to play our best golf. So I think that's kind of the most encouraging thing. Is that as a team we can get a lot better from a score perspective.
Yeah.
So that's what's nice.
Yeah. So for people who don't know golf, how would you describe it to them, if you know what I mean? People who've like looked at it and been like, this is kind of dumb. I wouldn't want to do that ever. How would you describe that to somebody?
Yeah. Well, golf can be very relaxing. You know, it's kind of nice to grab some buddies and go hit some balls at the driving range. But at the same time, as whenever expectations come, you know, golf's one of those activities or sports that can be also very frustrating, just because, you know, you get pretty decent at it in the ways that you hit the ball, and all of a sudden it doesn't do that one day. So You know, that's kind of what some of our guys struggle with a little bit too, is how they deal with failure a little bit. So golf is definitely a game of failure.
Yeah.
You know, no matter how much we want it to be perfect in our shots, to be perfect, but, you know, sometimes you pick up a golf club and the ball just doesn't go, you know, where you're anticipating it to go. So that can be frustrating, as well.
But yeah. I can kind of agree with that.
I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
It's kind of a two-parter, so bear with me on this one. How long have you been golfing?
How long have I been? So I've been golfing since I was about a junior or senior in high school. So I actually didn't play golf in high school. I was a baseball guy. So I really picked up golf whenever I got into college, because at that time, you know, my spring season was open, and so some buddies and I decided to pick up golf, and we kind of took off with it. So I've been playing for about, I'd say, about 15 years or so.
Okay. So a lot of things happen in the spring. What made you specifically choose golf over, say, I don't know, soccer or going
other stuff?
Other stuff that happened in college. What made you choose specifically golf?
Well, you know, like I said earlier, it's just golf's it's a very relaxing game. It can be. And you know, it's something that you do as it's kind of, there's a lot of like social aspect to golf as well. So like I said, golf's a game that you do with a lot of your friends, whereas, you know, you can shoot baskets in your hoop and, you know, outside of your, you know, at the park or whatever all by yourself, or, you know, you can practice swings and baseball by yourself. But I feel like golf is more something that you do from a social aspect. So it's kind of that camaraderie with golf and just a chance that you get to kind of hang out with your friends while you're, you know, playing the sport of golf. So I think that's kind of what's a little different. It's kind of like similar to like throwing a football or throwing a baseball. You know, you're doing that with one of your friends, or maybe you have a dad and a son kind of play catch or whatever. So yeah, golf is something that you don't necessarily do individually. I mean, you can, but at the same time, I think that's kind of why I picked it up, is we saw it as an opportunity to kind of hang out together as a group of friends and also have a good time playing golf.
I was going to say, because me and my dad, that's kind of what we do. Instead of, like, playing catch or throwing a football outside, we'll go play golf. Or, like, I'll do it with my grandpa sometimes, because I live close to the golf course in Pittsburgh, if you know where that
is. Quail Creek?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I go there sometimes. Or there's the smaller one. Do you know the smaller one? That's, like, on the edge, right on, right down. I always forget that road name, because I go down every day. But right there, there's Quail Creek. I can't say words today. Yeah. But Quail Creek, because I tried out for the Tri-West team.
Okay.
I didn't work out.
Yeah. No,
but
okay.
Yeah.
Keep playing, man.
Yeah.
Keep playing.
But that's where we went to practice, and I think that's where they practice a lot.
Yeah.
But I was going to say, I agree with you on the patience and the soothing part of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very relaxing kind of sport.
Yeah.
Or like you said about sometimes it's not your day, because I can agree with that. Because last time I played, I was doing good halfway through, then it just disappeared and I didn't know what happened.
Yeah,
and I kept missing.
Yep, that happens a lot. That happens a lot, especially for the younger guys. You know, it's and even the, you know, for guys that's been playing for a long time. You know, we've seen Tiger Woods be very successful recently, but you know, it's taken him, you know, 10 years to kind of get back to where he was. So, you know, golf's a game where you can kind of be down and out for a while, and you know, it's up to you as the individual to kind of pick it back up and get it kind of turned back around. So
Well, you got anything else to say, anything else to add?
No, that's what I got. Go Giants.
Yeah.
Appreciate you guys having me on.
Thank you for coming. Yeah,
you have a wonderful day.
Thank you guys.
Thank you. You want to go into the next song, or?
All right, sure.
What's the next song?
What's another 2009 song? Well, it became popular in 2009. I think it was released like maybe late 2008, but you know what? We're not here to squander over
time periods.
Yes, time periods, the small things in life. No, we're just going to play some good music. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
What is it?
Viva La Vida by Coldplay.
Okay, I know what that song is. I didn't know what it was at first. I was like, hang on.